This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
John Dennett Combs, of course, more accusations coming out against him. Some new filings this week from Busby and others. The big one that everyone is talking about, that we've been hearing about, a 10-year-old in the allegations. This time, the numbers keep going down. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, joining us to discuss. It's like every week it gets a little bit dirtier, a little bit scarier, a little bit more vile in terms of the accusations against him. What's your thoughts as we get younger on this scale?
Yeah, I mean, it really adds a new dimension to some already super serious allegations. When you bring in, the potential of pedophilia aspect, it has potential implications for the criminal case. And really, in the public eye, it affects that perception as well.
Obviously, these are accusations that go way back. I believe this is 2005 is what we're talking. So the 10-year-old today would be about 24. How do you go back in one of these cases and argue your case, I guess, to say that he did this to you?
You know, that is super tough with these older allegations, because if there was no outcry that was close in time to when this allegedly happened, that there was likely no significant investigation. So you don't have witness statements, you don't have sane exams, you don't have medical information that could corroborate the claim. You have your own testimony, and perhaps he made an outcry to people around him, and you could bring in consistent statements from those people. So there are ways to do it, but it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of bringing in like psychologists, if there was one, or a therapist or things like that, or friends. How well do juries take that sort of information? If, let's say, this one goes to trial and you have a therapist that was talked to 15 years ago, and they can bring that information to light. If you have some friends, whatever, just some people that can corroborate this story, does that make it a slam dunk then? I mean, we are talking about basically witness type testimony here, and that's what it's being based on. But in a case like this, you usually don't have a lot of other stuff unless other people were present.
Yeah, by no means a slam dunk, even with those potential additional witnesses. You know, one thing juries look at is they say, hey, gosh, why didn't you mention something to the authorities back then? And I don't know whether that there was such a report to the authorities, but it sounds like there might not have been. So the juries are going to look to, hey, did you tell anyone else about this? Is it consistent with what you're saying now? Are there details that could give rise to a conclusion of credibility that, hey, it looks like this happened. There's consistency throughout these statements. Those are things that the jury wants to see, but still with a cold case, very tough.
Is the argument of why didn't you tell somebody back then as strong as it was like 10 years ago? I mean, we have such a better understanding today of how this stuff works. And you know, it's an ignorant thing to say sometimes to a survivor of like, well, why didn't you tell somebody back then? Because you know, and I know, you know, just how much pressure and trauma someone's going through. They don't necessarily want to be getting spotlight if they're even believed. And especially if we're talking 2005 and somebody said, did he rape my 10-year-old? Or that 10-year-old comes out and says that, and again, these are just allegations, I don't think anyone would have believed it.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely the concern. And it's a really important question, because I think that the societal view has sort of shifted in recent times, such that we kind of understand how, it's kind of shitty to have to disclose this extremely personal abuse that happened to you and deal with potential backlash, deal with being disbelieved, deal with a court process that can be super intrusive. Mm-hmm. And so there are reasons for a latent outcry. This is very latent, but not super surprising. And I think that we're sort of, as a culture, understanding why that happens a little better.
As we learn more and more about this, Jeff, and people come back all these years later because they feel, you know, they're more mature, they're older, they're a different person by now. Anybody who didn't have this happen 15 years later is probably a different person by now, just through development. Are we learning through cases like this that coming forward really makes a huge difference in this, even if people don't want to? Or are we learning, look, if something happened to you and you don't want to come forward right now, which is totally understandable, I think, from most people's perspectives, tell somebody about it. At least tell somebody. At least have a record of it. Should you change your mind down the road? We're, as a human, not the greatest at thinking all that well about down the road and what we may want to do at some point in time. But it might be one of those things where it's like, yes, get it on the record somewhere. You don't have to go forward, but get it on the record.
Yeah, you know, I think that is certainly best practices, but, you know, that's easy for me to say.
Yeah.
If I was 10 years old and had been perped on, you know, I'd probably have other concerns in my mind rather than, you know, sort of documenting this for what happens in the future. So certainly that is something that ought to happen. But if it didn't happen, I think there are understandable reasons for that.
Do you think we'll ever see a shift in society or culture? I mean, if everybody started coming forward right away when this stuff happened, and again, I'm not shaming a victim. I totally get why people don't. I understand that. But if we had a shift in that, if those things started coming forward in a more efficient, quicker manner once they happen, do you think that would help pull down the world of these type of people? Because they seem to rely on that anonymity, on that way of nobody's going to talk about this. Your odds of getting reported if you're the predator, not the greatest. I mean, you are in the good odds if you're a predator of continuing to do this sort of thing. But if that shifted, if people felt the safety to do that, do you think we'd see a decrease in this sort of sexual violence as a whole?
You know, it seems like the view on public outcry regarding sexual assault is changing, and the environment is getting better for those folks. Studies that we have show us that this kind of thing is terribly underreported, even still. And so if there is an increase in reporting, does that increase public awareness about it? Does that potentially have a deterrent effect on other, you know, big time folks who might think twice now about engaging in this type of behavior because it's more likely that they could be held accountable? I think so.
It's certainly something fascinating to contemplate, and maybe we will get to a point where society is, you know, I mean, I think we're getting there. I think people are feeling safer to be able to come out and talk about these sort of things, and hopefully that continues to strengthen as time goes on. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.